Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Dadcast. Today is a very special one because not only do we have two guests from an amazing kick-ass band that we are very, very fond of, I'm personally broadcasting from Oahu. I'm in Hawaii as we speak. And just to show a little proof of such things, there's our little marina area here. Nick, are you jealous?
I am jealous, and I hate you.
It happens. But. It happens. Welcome. Our major awesome co-host, his name is Nick Martin. Nick, as you said, you're unhappy with me right now. I understand that.
That's right. I'm in good old Grants Pass, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Freezing my butt off right now.
It happens, man. And joining us today from the band Saving Abel, we've got Jared and Jason on the show. You guys, welcome to Dadcast, man. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, man. What's going on? Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. You guys doing okay out there?
Yeah, we actually just got into town from a little East Coast run, and we're back at home now with our dad pants back on.
Dad pants. Nick, that's a wonderful idea. We should probably market some merch and call them dad pants.
That's right.
Or you can just call them sweatpants.
Yeah, whatever. That's what I was saying. My kid and my family calls them comfy pants.
We'll get some joggers with the Dadcast logo on the side.
I'm in. So, Jared, I'll start with you. This is a rite of passage for everyone who comes on Dadcast. It's usually we already know the answer, but we're going to ask it anyway. Are you a father?
I am a father. I'm a dad, man. I like to be called dad. If anybody can be a father, it takes one special to be a dad. My dad used to have that on his cabinet when I was a kid. I remember used to reading it a lot. It was a picture of us.
Awesome.
How sappy is that, man? But I understand it now. Man.
Right?
I totally get it.
It's crazy. The stuff that our dads told us when we were younger, we didn't get until we had kids. And then we're like, huh, that's what he's talking about. Now I get it.
So how many kids do you have? Are they boys, girls, ages, names?
I have three kids, two girls and one boy. Nikki and I, we like to wait to see what we're having. So we waited until the kid pops out before we knew, you know, hey, it's a girl. So
right.
Coda, she is 11 years old. Her name is Coda Rain Elizabeth Weeks. And we have Harper Lennon Phoenix. We tried to put musical terms in all of our kids' names because obviously me and my wife are both musicians. But Harper Lennon, she goes by Lenny. She's, of course, named after John Lennon, which we're Beatles fans here at the house, obviously.
How old is Harper?
Harper's 8 years old. So I've got a Coda, who's 11, and Harper, who's 8. And then on the last one, he's our little miracle baby because we had some, you know, Nikki had some conditions going on, and we weren't really sure how this one was going to, the pregnancy was going to turn out. So he's what we call our miracle baby, but his name is Scout. And he is 3 years old, and my God, he is a beast. Oh my God.
That's amazing. When my youngest, she's 8 as well. And when it came down to naming, mom gave me two choices, Harper or Avery. And we ended up with Avery. And, but they're both 8 years old. That was a very popular name at that point in time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we like to choose, like I said, musical type terms in a Harper, obviously, you know. And then the Lennon, and she brought us when she was probably about 5 years old. She brought us downstairs and she said, Mommy, Daddy, we're going to have a family meeting. Mm-hmm. She brought us down there and she said, now look, you guys can call me Coco or you can call me Lenny. And we chose to call her Lenny. So she said, all right, I'm good with that. So we don't call her Harper. She doesn't answer to Harper anymore. She only goes by Lenny.
I call her Leonard.
Nickname is Leonard. Get over here.
And Jason, you know, we're going to touch on that, obviously. But before we get down to the nitty gritty, are you a dad?
Oh, yeah, I'm a dad.
Oh, look. Yep.
Look at all those cars.
Look at them car seats. That's a grocery go-getter you're in right now. How many kids do you have? Yeah, how old are they and all that good stuff?
So I got four, man. I got three boys and a little redheaded girl. Oldest boy, Ethan, is 20, about to be 21. Middle boy, Zebby, he's about to be 12. My little girl just turned 6. And then I got about a 1.5-year-old, about to be 2 soon. Silas is his name. Exie is the little girl's name. She's named after her great-grandmother on my mother's side.
That is amazing, man. And as we know, there was some issues medically here recently. Is everything going well on that path now with them?
That's the scariest thing I've ever been through. I mean, I've flipped cars end to end. I mean, you name it. That was the scariest I've ever been. But he's back to himself now. He's doing really good. I think, yeah, thanks to everybody's well wishes and prayers, man. That was very heartwarming when Nikki and Jared posted that, and everybody, I saw everybody out there pulling for us, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely, man.
Well, being a dad, you know, you can only imagine what he was going through. You know, you can't relate to it, but it's like, we got your back, bro.
Yeah, no, my wife and I have a 16 month old, and his first 3 months he spent in the NICU. He didn't know how to eat when he came out. Yeah, ended up getting E. coli really bad. So it's been scary. He's had COVID three times. So it's
Lord.
It's been a crazy ride.
Our little boy was positive for salmonella and E. coli too.
Yeah.
And then to come to find out there was an outbreak that had just been announced in like 25 states. So that contributed to the incident we went through.
Yeah, it was definitely one of the scariest things. Like, I've never seen my kid so sick before in my life. Like, he was lethargic and just... Yeah, it was like, oh my gosh, it was definitely touch and go for a little bit.
At that point, you're just like, what do you do? You know, I've never felt so helpless, man.
And like all the tests and stuff too, like every time they came in, they like, because we were in the midst of COVID, so they were doing COVID tests, blood draws, and it's like, man, just stop with the poor little guy. Let's give him some medicine and let's get him better. This is stupid.
Yeah, it's difficult. Yeah. I can only imagine. You guys, I'm sorry. I was just dropped a gigantic plate of breakfast. So is that cool if I eat while we're chatting? You guys cool with that?
Only if you're in Hawaii.
Dude, I got Hawaiian bacon right here. Mm-hmm.
Does Joel Staley know about this food that you're consuming right now, JP?
I'm on vacation, man.
So we're both on fitness journeys. JP's doing this crazy not eating thing for 7,200 hours at a time.
Oh, and I when know he what eats, you're talking about.
Every time he eats, it's fun.
I got a buddy of mine that's on that 72-hour thing. He's trying it as well, fasting and all that.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened much while I've been in Hawaii. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I bet.
I'm still eating like less of what I'm supposed to be eating, but I'm in Hawaii.
See, I rock the dirty keto and hit the weights 6 days a week. So that's how I stay in shape. I'm like,
heck yeah. I just do shows and eat less. That's about there how I lose weight. A little bit of cardio and no food. There you have it.
Now, do your older kids, and questions for both of you, do they grasp that, you know, dad's a rock star and that they could possibly hook them up and their friends?
Yeah, but only recently, you know, like when Coda was born, I was, you know, obviously it was before Saving Abel, I had left. So she was sort of raised on a tour bus. But even at that young age, your brain still can't compute. Like, this is my dad. This is what he does. You know, this is his work and all that. So it just so happened recently, I got to rediscover that. We did a show in Atlanta, and Coda, my 11-year-old, and Lenny, my 8-year-old, and Scout even got to come. My whole family got to come and see the show. And it was great standing up there and watching their reaction, and it was to see that they you could actually tell on their face, they're like, I'm looking at my dad. But like, even my daughter, my 8-year-old, she was crying for a moment there, and I was like, why were you crying? She goes, because I was just so proud of you. And I'm just like, holy crap, like,
that's so awesome.
So it was and my 3-year-old Scout, he really didn't understand, but of course he was at the bottom of the stage reaching up with a frown on his face because he wanted to get up there with me. You know, so it was really good rediscovering that. I think they, of course, the older ones, Coda, I think she sort of understands it a little better now, along with Lenny. So it was really cool to rediscover that and see that. It was a proud dad moment anyways, you know.
That's awesome.
I've never eaten on a podcast before. This is so weird to me right now. I feel like I'm being rude. Something to be said about when a child tells you that they're proud of you.
Yeah.
You know, it's
because you don't think their brain can even fathom that. And then they, you know, you get to that point and you're like, man, they are just growing little humans that you get to catch these moments. And that's something that I've been working on for so many years now, is being more present in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, being famous and being out there, you know, you kind of turn this switch on, you turn it on and off, and you even bring that habit home. You know, even coming home, you turn that switch on and off, and so it's been, you know, over the past few years, you know, I've even been in therapy talking about this stuff, but being more present in the moments with your kids and getting to experience those moments, man, consistencies pay off there.
Yeah. Did you find yourself, when you weren't there per se, having, you know, fighting yourself over that and reaching out for help? How did that all start?
Now, well, I mean, if we're going to get into that, like I was into drug usage pretty heavy. I had a pretty heavy pill problem. And, you know, during those moments, Dakota being out on the road with me, yeah, I could still remember in my head, you're a dad and this is Coda and we're out here on the road and we're doing, but come on, let's just be honest. I really wasn't present. You know, I was high the whole time. So, you know, I got robbed. I didn't get robbed, but I missed out on a lot of things. And yeah, there's a lot of regret to that, but it also put me to where I'm at and who I am today. So, you know, I don't know if I would change it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm pretty happy right now, you know?
Right. Absolutely. The path has led you to where you're at.
What about you, Jason? You've got older kids.
Yeah.
Do your older kids go and get you to pull the dad card and, hey, I want to go hang out with my dad's famous friends?
You know, not exactly, but he made me really proud. About 3 days ago, we were leaving to go to meet the bus, and he texted me and said, hey, Dad, do you have an acoustic guitar that I could learn on? That warmed me up, because he never really had a lot of interest in it. He was a gamer and computer guy, but I ordered him a new guitar. Should be at the house today, so that made me really happy. And you know, nice. proud, you know, yeah, I guess better like the words. But you know, there's been several times when hold on, guys, I keep getting calls, let me see if I can get back to you. But there was times back in the day when he would, you know, he actually rode the bus with us and stuff like that. And you could see the wonder and amusement and a bit of confusion in their faces. You know, it's like Jerry was talking about Scout the other day. I could just see it in his face. He was trying to process what was happening, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of made me sad up on stage, because I wanted to hold him, you know, but I was doing my work, doing my job, you know, so I couldn't get down there to him, you know. I'm a big sap, though. I love moments like that, you know.
Yeah.
I would have stopped the whole damn show and just brought him up and been like, everyone, look, this is my son. I pulled a Lion King type thing and just to the crowd. So, you know,
we're Luke Bryan. Every time Luke Bryan brings a cute kid up on stage, the crowd goes crazy. Yeah.
There you go. I to answer that question more directly, though, my oldest, he was a Hollywood Undead fan. So I stalked them on tours for about 3 years there, getting photos and autographs. So I remember that. He thought that was the coolest thing.
Nice.
You know, our kids, you know, you're asking if our kids ever, you know, do we ever use our, you know, popularity status to get them anything? Yeah, sometimes. But then there's also this angle. You know, you come home and your kids are like, no, I don't care who you are. Just make me a bowl of cereal and leave me alone.
Right.
It's like, hey, Dad, go cook me some food. You know, it's like, it's like, don't you know who I am? They're like, we don't care.
Hey, Jay,
I've been muted. Those are the ones that can get away with that. The kids, they can do it. Because I'm by no means as popular or as famous as you two gentlemen in a, you know, huge global saving social able stands. Band. But within 40 square miles of where I live, I'm kind of famous because I worked in radio and the radio stations I get. And it doesn't matter where we go. It could be out to dinner or something. Someone will always go, hey, JP, man, you know, blah, 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 blah. And my kids just look at me like, who's that? I'm like, I don't know, son. I have no idea. I have no clue who that kid is. And when they were little, then whatever. But now they're getting a little bit older and they're starting to ask questions. And now, Dad, anytime a concert, especially my 17-year-old, she's almost 17, any concert that comes anywhere within like 500 square miles of where we live, she assumes I can automatically just make a phone call and get her tickets. I'm like, honey, that's not how it works, really. But you know, I'll see what I can do for you. But most of the time, it's exactly Make me brownies
for like 20 years on the side. So my kids, my daughter, my 17-year-old's like really into music and stuff. Her favorite artist is Andy Grammer. And I met Andy probably 10 years ago.
Love him.
And he's super nice guy. So for her birthday one year, he was playing one of the big venues in Southern Oregon. So I reached out. I'm like, hey, my daughter's a huge fan. He took her backstage, had dinner with her, taught her how to play guitar. And then every time he comes to Oregon now, he texts me. He's like, hey, man, can Emma come out and come to the show? So that's kind of cool. So it's been kind of cool that way with that. And, you know, I've made a lot of friends, Eve Six, just throughout the years, Smash Mouth, you know, just all those guys. So anytime they come to town, they're like, hey, you want kids, bring the kids out and let's have fun. Let's have some food.
That's so awesome. That's great when you have good experiences like that, man. Especially with uber famous bands, you know.
There's been a few that have been kind of shitty, but
yeah. Nick with the first bomb.
Yeah. But yeah, for the most part, I mean, most of the bands I've worked with have been just amazing. And they've all stayed in touch over the last 20 years. And it's like, oh, this is cool. You know, they're coming through. Let's bring the family out. And so, yeah. So my older kids, definitely, they're like, hey, dad, so Eminem's playing up in Portland. I'm like, dude, I don't know Eminem.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen.
Coach's probably going to start that too.
It's also what I really dig about you guys. I mean, I can't speak for Jared, even though, you know, now that we've met officially here via a computer screen, I'm assuming it's going to be exactly the same. But in the experiences we've had with Saving Abel, whether it be me as a radio guy and helping promote the concert or as the fan in the crowd when it came time to meet and greets, you guys every single time have just been, I mean, stand up. I mean, even if you're having a bad day, I couldn't tell because
That's something that I've always been proud of since the beginning, that we've always been that type of band. You know, even on the USO tours, we'll sit there and we'll shake every single soldier's hand at that base. We've spent 4 to 6 hours in the same spot just shaking people's hands. I thought that that's always something that sort of puts us out in front of other bands. We're always look, I'm not like bragging or nothing, but we're pretty humble. Like, we're just Southern rednecks, you know, we're from a small town, and we realize that we're just as lucky as any other of the bands that are out there. We would be nowhere without our fans. So we always took the time to do things like that and say thank you. Because I'm pretty grateful.
That's why we love you, man. Awesome. And also that attitude, that embracing of all of that, is also why you guys are good dads, because that goes right along with that mentality, patience with the kids. You know what I mean?
That's a hard one.
I know. And you,
that's a hard one, man.
You know, Jace has got the older kid too. My daughter is pushing 17 years old now, and it feels like she's been pushing 17 since she was 13. It can be difficult. And even as we speak right now, I'm not going to try to make this show about me, but Nick, and maybe this is where I'm going to ask for advice from you guys. So as you know, I'm in Hawaii with my lady. So mom and dad are in Hawaii and our children are at home with a friend of ours who called us last night crying because she is breaking down because my son, my 11-year-old, is not behaving as he should be. And it's making it very, very difficult for her. And here I am, 3,000 miles away. I can't fix this problem right now to the best of my ability. And it's stressful. I mean, I spent last night just going, oh, should I get a plane ride home? No, I'm not going to let my kids
the
do no.
Of it all.
You know, I don't, you know, this is not my kid. He doesn't normally act like that. I don't know what's going on. Is he lashing out? Is a prepubescence happening when I'm gone?
Who knows what causes it? But I just had this conversation with Dave, our drummer, the other day. He's experiencing a similar situation, but an idea too. But there was one thing that I did with my children that seemed to really have an effect on them. But I would give them responsibility of being the man of the house when I'm gone.
Yeah, I did the same.
That seemed to really shift the way they acted when I was gone. You know,
right?
I just lay that responsibility on them. Hey, you've got to you got to help your mother. You got to be me when I'm gone. You know, that type of thing.
Right. And I did that.
We're relying on you.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And that worked for me a couple of weeks ago. We went to Vegas for a few days and I feel like I'm leaving my kids all the time now. and that was my plan. I'm going to instill that whole sense of responsibility and make him, ooh, I get to be, you know, what dad does. He looks up to dad. And it worked pretty well for that week. But, oh, so far,
it's two days in. It's losing its power.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah. He might just need a firm reminder.
Yeah, so exactly. And my plan.
Take that screen away from him.
This, right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Especially when Papa gets home. But anywho, to my fixing of this situation, since I am so far away, is my brother, Uncle Vince, is going to be showing up at the house after work. And he's going to grab Sawyer up and he's going to give them the man talk on behalf of dad and awesome uncle and try to whip him into shape for the next few days while we're gone. And I hope it takes, because that poor lady does not deserve to be crying at my home because my son's being a total ass.
Right.
Oh, man.
Nick, how you go over there? You could just.
I know. I'd be like, Sawyer, let's go to the gym, you little asshole. Oh, whoa.
He's very sensitive, though. Okay. He's also my sensitive boy.
Yeah.
If you call him an asshole, he's just going to shut down right off the bat.
A couple hours. He'll never be bad again, I promise. my 16 month old is like.
Scared him straight.
Dude, he is like the most. He's like so different. I have six kids. This kid is the most different kid that I've had. Like, he is like fearless. He'll go on the couch. My couch is like 3 feet off the ground. Just dive onto the hardwood floor like it's nothing. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Like, you're going to end up in the hospital again for 3 months this time again because you broke your neck. Yeah. What is wrong with
you? That reminds me of Scout. Yeah, Scout's a beast like that. He just plows his way through everything.
Yeah, he was running around at grandma's house the other day, took off his shoes, decided to go run into the blackberry bushes because he wanted something.
And I'm like, Nick, do I need to remind you that he's not even a year and a half old and that is your job to not let him run into the blackberry bushes?
I wasn't there.
Oh, fair enough. All right, Miss Martin. I know you watch these episodes. Let's not allow the baby to run into the blackberry bushes.
Well, no. So mommy and I go pick him up, right? He's got scratches all over his legs and his feet. We're like, what the hell happened? What happened to the baby? Oh, the dog got him.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Jared, Jason, have you guys ever done a show in Hawaii?
No, we have not. That would be awesome.
Okay. Have you ever been to Hawaii?
Never been there.
This is my first time too. And it's crazy warm for the record. The humidity.
Yeah,
but it's pretty cool. Yeah, you guys should definitely book a show out here. Aloha Stadium. It's the biggest. Yeah, that's where you should go. Let's see if I can get it worked out for you guys.
I'd love to play Aloha Stadium. Heck yeah! I've never been to Hawaii. I've been to 48 states. I haven't been to Alaska or Hawaii.
Wow, you still got me beat.
You hook it up, we'll be there.
All right, I'll see what I can do, man.
I'll be there too.
I'll pull the JP. Hey, man, I can even talk to Dave, the owner of this house, and this can be our base of operations, man. I'm telling you. Do you have no idea how cool this? Oh man, it's.
We need a good core foundation. I think we're getting it together right now.
That's right.
All right, is everyone still drinking in the band, or is that no longer a thing for some of you?
I no longer drink. I'm pretty much sober these days, man. And sober and present.
Good. Know? And how does that work out when, you know, say Scott whips out the whiskey, the big old gallon of Jack Daniels, and starts drinking? Is there an understanding?
There's an understanding. You know, when we decided to get back together, and as me coming back over, you know, I tend to not put myself in situations, you know, where it could be hard. But like I said, I've been working and doing this for years as far as therapy going. I've been to rehab. I've been to all those things that people do. And, you know, as far as AA and all that and all those things. And they have really helped me. But, you know, to get to the core of it, mental health is the root of a lot of all that stuff. So, you know, over the years, And that was one of the reasons I came back to Saving Abel is I've been working so hard over the past few years that I finally reached a place in my life where, you know, I had my confidence back and I wanted to take back what I had given away years ago. And it was just a pretty proud moment in my life. And so, you know, there was stipulations as me coming back, but you know, the way we look at it now is, you know, when I go to work, it's at a bar anyways. Yeah. I'm a grown man. I can use my tools and I can make it through it. I mean, just like every other night before, you know. But like I said, you know, the people that do drink in the band, they pretty much keep it at a low pace party for me on the bus, which is good. You know, it helps. We all get along. You know, if they're grown men, if they want to go drink and get sloppy drunk, they can go do that. Just not on the bus.
Fair enough. Can I ask,
me or, you know,
can I get personal band question with you guys?
Yeah, sure.
The previous lead singer. Well, I forget his name. What was his name?
Scott, right?
Scotty.
Yep. Was there animosity? Did he leave on his own accord? Was it just like a perfect storm type things? And Jared, you were able to get your way back in. I mean, how did that work?
Jason and I had been working on something not Saving Abel. It was something called Shade of Grace previously throughout the months.
Okay.
And so there were talks about it in and out, but nothing was ever made official. And it was almost like a perfect storm because Scotty turned right around and ended up getting another deal with this other producer from this other label. And we sort of just amicably, I can't believe I said that word correctly.
Well, wow, done, man.
Hard,
here.
That was a hard word.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah. I don't know if you can hear that. You know, some applause for you.
One of those, you know, where he had good reason to go do his solo career and you know, search for his whatever he needed and is looking for currently. And it left the door open, which was, I mean, let's just, that I was coming back and it sort of was a perfect storm for him exiting.
Okay, good. So there's no like crazy National Enquirer stories that we.
No, nothing. Yeah, no, like
Scotty
that,
was good,
no.
But dude, Jared, you are Saving Abel, man. You are the voice.
Thanks, man. Jason and I, talking about Jason's 20-year-old son, Ethan, most of the songs that you hear, the Saving Abel songs, were written in his room, in his bedroom, that little 2-bedroom house in Corinth. Yeah. So, you know, we're over here writing Addicted in 18 Days, looking at, you know, video games and posters on the wall, like a little cat hang in there. But, you know, just surrounded by little kids' toys, you know.
I was going to say, you know, Addicted's God, that's got to be pushing 20 years old now, right? Give or take.
Yeah.
And Ethan is about that age. I don't even want to know how or why you're writing a song such as that inside an infant's bedroom.
Man, I tell you, it came out of nowhere. I promise you, it came out of nowhere. I just was singing that song to myself weeks before we even brought it into a studio. It just wouldn't get out of my head. But yeah, that song just came out of nowhere, man. I was working at the hospital when we wrote that.
Well, it did all right, that song. Yeah. It did all right for you guys.
Got me out of the hospital and got Jason out of working at Kmart, you know.
I worked at Kmart, Jason, for a while.
Yeah? Where at?
In McKinleyville, which is Humboldt County, Northern California, for like a period of 2 months because I needed another job. And, you know, as before I came up and started doing the radio business. But, hey, man, I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
What you got to do.
It worked out real well for me, man. I was a big gamer, and the video games would come in a week early, and I would buy it. I wouldn't even tell the boss. I'd just be like, scanned it. It rang up. I'm like, I'm in. I go home, and you know, JP's got Madden 2005 before everyone else does. Let's go play, you guys. That's.
I was that way with the new releases on Tuesdays.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jared. I was going to say, I was that way.
It's that damn Zoom pause, man. That pregnant delay. Okay, Jason, go.
All right. So, yeah, I was just going to say on Tuesdays, that's what I did. I was an LP manager for a long time, so I had to make sure everything that we got in, like electronics and everything, you know. So I was on the front line when it hit the shelf, so I had my first picks of it.
Ah, it's beautiful.
Bought a lot of CDs from back then too.
That was my favorite day. New release Tuesday, new music Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
That's today.
Tunes took over. Now it's like every day something new comes out. It's like, damn it.
So where are the
game has changed?
Yeah. Where are the Jared? So you're home now. Where are they home? Are they hanging out? What's going on?
They're at home. They're downstairs. I think my oldest is getting her hair dyed. I think mom's dyeing her hair and the other two are outside. I haven't heard anything break in a while, so I'm starting to think I'm getting paranoid.
It's a little nervous when it's too quiet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Jason, are all the kids still at home living with you?
Well, my oldest, obviously, he was by my first wife, but he's in college now. And then I've got two in Home Depot with mom and one's at home with brother-in-law, probably gaming.
So nice. the wife and the kid is literally still in Home Depot. I said it. Yeah. Home Depot. And you're in the okay. I don't even see. If it was Bed Bath and Beyond, I'd be applauding you for the strategy that just worked out. Right. But that's Home Depot, man. I feel bad. I'm taking you away from Home Depot. Right? Exactly. I apologize, man, but we appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's all good. At the end of the day, it's I'm in the middle of the daddy do list, so I'm getting to actually take a break, I guess, if you look at it that way.
There you go. Yeah. Very, very, very good. Wow. So they're in there doing the shopping. So
do we have any new Saving Abel music coming?
Oh, that's a good question. I didn't want to pry, but.
We've got a new EP. We've got an entire album coming out at the end of the year. It's Saving Abel's. It's an essentials album. We got the rights back finally on all our singles. So we re-recorded them. And on the Essentials album, we are releasing a few Saving Abel songs that no one's heard.
Nice.
So we're going to push maybe just a light single off of it called My Catastrophe. Mm-hmm. But what we're currently, the long game plan that we've got is Jason and I are actually in the studio right now in between shows. And the entire month of November, we're currently writing the new Saving Abel album, which we're looking to release February or March of next year.
Nice.
Awesome.
So I got a question for you. So on the side, we have a management company for bands, and we're actually managing the former guitar player from Sleeping with Sirens, who is also a music writer. And we're looking for bands that might be interested in a co-write with him. So I don't know if you guys.
I'm always down to co-write. Okay. That's what I did here. When I left Saving Abel, I moved here to Nashville and I would write 5 days a week, sometimes two and three times a day.
Yeah. So he's got four gold records. The dude's legit. So
are you seriously hustling in the middle of an episode, Nick?
I am hustling in the middle of an episode.
These are questions you can save for as soon as we finish, but I guess you're doing it right. Cause no one can say no. In the middle of an episode.
I just talked
to my buddies from Otherwise, and they're going to do a co-write with my buddy. So I'm pretty excited about
that. We just did a couple of shows with those guys over the past few months. The guy always ends his set. He says, we are all Otherwise. I always remember that after he says it.
Yeah. Super good dudes.
Yeah, man. If you guys get a chance, go check out the episodes on this channel. That was a fun one. We got a bunch of them. I want to back it up a bit. So obviously March 2020 hit and it was just a bunch of pile of stinking shit for everyone, no matter what industry when you're, how did Saving Abel in particular, Jared, Jason, how did you guys navigate your way through that period? Not being able to work home with the kids. How did that work out for you guys?
That was what brought us back together.
I think,
go ahead and tell them, Noel.
You got it. I'll just wholeheartedly agree. Yeah.
Well, you know, a lot of people during the isolation, it didn't do so well. You know, I know being an alcoholic, you know, it was very tempting to drink a lot, especially being isolated at home, you know, monotonous things, same things every day. So I know a lot of people didn't do too well, but I turned inward and started focusing on myself a whole lot more. And I ended up doing pretty well. And like I said, that was during the time when Jason and I were talking and we were in the studio. And I'll never forget, I called him up and I was like, hey, man, do you ever you know, think about the Shade of Grace stuff. And Shade of Grace was the band we had before Saving Abel. It was just he and I acoustically. And he's like, man, I think about it all the time. And I was like, well, what do you say we get in the studio and just start looking at some of that stuff, maybe recording it, just doing an acoustic album. Let's just get together and start working. And obviously we got back in the studio and started looking over all those old Shade of Grace tunes, which led to started looking over all the old Saving Abel tunes, song ideas that we had, which led to, you know, creating an EP for Shade of Grace with, you know, six songs that nobody's ever heard, which led to Jason and I saying, all right, well, we're just going to do this. This is where we're supposed to be. This is where the universe set us up. And, you know, we're just going to float down the river and wherever it leads us, that's where it takes us. And obviously it's put the band back together. Here we are, you know, trying to get back at it.
It was, Jared always said, I think you just said it, the universe lines up, but I had just been in the studio working on another project with our longtime producer Skid, and he records everything. So we went into the, what is known as the vault of Saving Abel. And I was able to hear Jared and I on a couch, like working out, addicted and drowning and figuring out what part goes where. And then it was only like a week later, he calls me and then mentions that old stuff, you know? So it was just time, I guess, that this happened.
The universe lined all of this up without us even really even trying.
Right.
So this is how I know it's exactly where I'm supposed to be. This is exactly where we're supposed to be. I have deja vu about this stuff all the time. That just tells me too. That's where we're supposed to be, you know?
Well, I love that. And I'm glad you guys are where you're at, because that's new Saving Abel music, meaning more opportunities to see you guys play out on the road. And I'm working on Hawaii, but you know, another Oregon show wouldn't be horrible. Just saying. Yeah. Maybe even Northern California, we can work it.
Maybe a Dadcast presents Saving Abel.
There he goes, hustling again. Okay.
Hey, you never stop the hustle.
We like music, but what can I say?
Only if I get to jump in for one song and play like two notes on a triangle.
That's sweet. I got a fever, and the only cure is more triangle.
Come on. I got to have more triangle. It's not cowbell, but yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right. Hey, so you guys, we've got this little thing we do on Dadcast. Nick, did you prepare?
Oh, did I?
Okay,
did
good I? For you. Good for you. It's called the Fast Five.
I've been stuck in quarantine.
Nick's going to just bust out some random questions, five of them. And if you want to answer them, great. If not, we aren't going to be offended. But these are typically fun, random questions that we hope aren't questions you would typically receive on any other type of interview you guys would ever go do ever. So here we go. And I might add a few afterwards if I'm not happy with the questions he asked.
You better be happy with the questions I asked.
All right. Fire away, my friend. It is your turn.
The go-to meal you cook for your kids.
Oh, pasta, broccoli, and pork.
Okay.
It's a thing Nikki's grandmother always makes. When I met her, it was one of the dinners that she made us. So it's always a comfort food for me. So we make it for the kids. They love it.
Right on. Jason?
Little Tony's Pizza, Dad's homemade cheeseburgers, and ramen noodles.
Perfect. Sweet. All right.
That's the go-to quick, cheap, easy, too.
That's right. You could have a billboard with anything on it. What would it say and why?
What are we? It would say, what are we doing? That's it.
Question mark, that's exclamation.
Exclamation. That's such a great question. I feel like everybody needs to ask themselves that a lot.
Exactly.
Lately.
Jason.
I've only got one thing in my head, and I don't think I can say it, you know?
You can say it. I promise. You can edit yourself, too, if you want.
Let's go, Brandon.
Okay.
All right. All your viewers are going to be in Google land for a couple of hours trying to figure that out.
Oh, man. What's your favorite thing to order at a local restaurant?
Oh, man. Happy chicken. I like chimichangas too, but we got this awesome Mexican restaurant really close to the house here. It's called El Guadalajara. And they do a really good happy chicken, which is just chicken and rice and cheese dip. But like I said, another comfort food for me. No wonder I got a dad bod. God.
All right, Jason, what you got?
We've got a place called Little Chicago's that people from Chicago opened up, I don't know, about 40 years ago, still in business. I get the hot Polish sausage with the pepper connie. How do you say it? Like olive.
Peppercini.
Peppercini. Yeah,
yeah. It's like it's not a sauce. It's a, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but it's dang good.
Glaze?
Yeah. No, it's got like olives and the peppercinis in it. And
like a
it's
relish.
Just damn good. Yeah, it's like a relish. That's it. Yeah.
Love that.
It's in olive oil and they put cheese on it. And I go there and get a really cold beer and one of those, man. And that's probably the best.
And by the way, Jason, I just looked up your Let's Go Brandon. I understand why you were hesitant, and we'll just leave it at that. I get it. I get it. The state of the world today, man. I get it. But we'll let everyone go ahead. If you want to go ahead and Google that yourself, go ahead. But I, for one, applaud you, sir. Okay.
Okay. What's your favorite song to cover?
Oh man, we do a pretty good job of Have You Ever Seen the Rain. We always keep it simple like that. But I think Have You Ever Seen the Rain is one of the most fun that we've ever had. We did that on a radio tour as well. And then we ended up, it did so well there that we ended up bringing it back on tour at the Front Porch Stomp, was the last tour that I did with the guys before I left. Okay. So I would say CCR, Have You Ever Seen the Rain. I always enjoyed singing that one.
Cool. What do you got, Jason?
Jared, back when we did that acoustic thing, he did a hell of a job with a Simple Man. I always love playing that one. Of course, I love the one he's talking about, CCR. Mm-hmm. And then we did a Tonic tune one time that just freaking I loved, and we never did it.
The Tonic, If You Could Only See.
We
killed that. I did that with Hinder as well, and I'm telling you, both bands knocked it out of the park, dude. But Tonic, If You Could Only See, is another one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just love that tune.
STP Plus, STP Plus. That was always one of my favorites as well.
And I got to tell them about this and the original Shade of Gray stuff. We did a cover of Willie Nelson's "Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain." That's my mother's favorite song, and I still get like choked up if I listen to that recording. He did. I mean, I don't know if
I've
they can
never
find
heard
that.
Can the song before. I'd never heard the song before, Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain, at this point in my life. I'd never heard it. Yeah. And Jason gave me the lyrics to it. And he goes, I want you to sing the lyrics right there. I want you to sing it to this guitar part. So he just started playing the guitar and I started singing it. And we came up with our version of Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain. And he wouldn't let me hear the song before I started singing it. So after we did it, I got to actually hear. And I was like, wow, it's almost nothing alike, but it sounds the same, you know? It was
same,
really
yeah,
cool.
I know. Yep.
You got to put that on some B-side somewhere, man.
I think we should, man. That's a great idea.
All right, last one. What's your favorite venue to play?
Machine Shop. Oh, of course. It's right. Always been the Machine. Man, the Machine Shop is just... It's always got a special place in our heart, man. Kevin Zink, the owner, and especially all the people there. Mm-hmm. People in Flint, Michigan, man, they always come to party. They always put on good shows, and they got some of the best crowds in the world there. So for me, it would be the Machine Shop in Flint, Michigan.
Nice.
You can open up for any band or artist, living or dead, that is not the Beatles. Jared, who do you pick?
Foo Fighters.
Okay. Jason.
It's one of my get. I want to see them before I die, and I haven't got to see them. So, what better way than to open up for them?
Well, okay. So now I got to get Dave on the horn and get him to open up and play this Hawaii show as well for Saving Abel,
absolutely.
Saving Abel, Foo Fighters, and whatever band Jason's about to pick. Hopefully, they're still alive.
So, I kind of got to do that years ago. Candlebox was like. I can't explain it. I just love the fact they still had guitar solos, mm-hmm. and Kevin is an unbelievable singer, but that was a dream come true for me. That they were a huge influence on me. But you know, not to be cliche, but I mean, like Johnny Cash, And then I don't know if it's because of the recent loss, but Van Halen would have been awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Gosh, we just had that year anniversary. It went by fast.
His son's album.
Yeah.
That is the greatest rock and roll album in years.
I was like, I was super hesitant. I'm like, no.
What the heck?
Yeah, dude, he freaking killed it. Oh, my gosh. So,
that would be a good show also. Yeah, I wouldn't mind Wolfie playing with them, man. He's really good.
Yeah.
All right. Wolfie, Saving Abel, and the Foo Fighters in the Aloha Bowl in Hawaii with my mother-in-law, who's right over there. She would love to go see that show.
All right, so now we need to like find a humongous sponsor, because I know Foo Fighters are not cheap.
No, they're not. They got their own plane, man. They got to put gas in that thing.
I'm pretty sure Dave doesn't do charity gigs anymore. So
any of the kids, are they in line to take on the role of dads and musicians? Any of them get that gene? I know you just said you sent the guitar, but
Jason's 18-month-old son, he gets his Gaga too. His Gaga's his guitar, and that little dude, he's already got his finger patterns down. I feel like, man, I think he's gonna follow pretty well. My daughter's, of course, Coda is the singer, so she likes to sing. She's got her karaoke machine, but Jason's kid, man, he watches Jason on stage, and he's pretty good at picking up his mannerisms.
I can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
Now, what would the children of the band members of Saving Abel name their band?
I was going to say Sons of Abel, but
I've
got daughters.
Yeah.
That sounds cool, right?
They're right. Cool. The Sons, it's almost like it should be the Sons of Anarchy sequel. But the Sons of Abel, the sons and daughters. Kids, offspring, the offspring of Abel. No, we already have that.
Abel's offspring.
Abel offspring. There it is. Boom.
Abel offspring.
If Silas was naming it, the one he's talking about, he would. I think he would call it Baby Gaga.
Baby Gaga.
Oh, that'd be great.
With a lead appearance from Liam and Cocomelon, right?
Yes.
His kid.
If I have to watch another Cocomelon, I'm going to freaking jump off a bridge.
All right.
I never thought I'd be learning how to sing and play old Elton John tunes, but that movie Sing, I've had to learn that song. Yeah.
I'm still standing. I'm still standing.
I'm still standing.
Yeah, is what he calls it.
I did the same thing, and I'm a grown ass man. I literally went and downloaded it and I put it on my track list. And now I have a radio station too that I run and own still these days. And that is in the playlist because of that friggin' movie. And you know what? It's a great tune. It is.
It is.
It is so good and catchy. Yes, it is Elton. but of all the Elton John songs out there, that one is just, I remember listening as a kid, and I'm just like,
to me, that song sounds like Elton John if he was going to cover, what's his name? Oh my gosh. I can't think of who I'm trying to think of. There you go. There you have it. I
killed
myself when I was a kid.
Dad brain.
Nope, I killed lots of brains. There Billy goes. Joel. That's it.
Billy Joel. Okay, this.
It sounds like a Billy Joel song.
It does sound like a Billy Joel song. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, if we can get Billy Joel to cover I'm Still Standing, that would be amazing. Oh, yeah. We're good. Did I mention that we always go off the rails on this show, you guys? It's so. Please, thank you for keeping the trend up. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
We're pretty much, I mean, Nick, unless you got anything else, man, we are like real close to finishing up our time here. Gentlemen, Jared, Jason, Saving Abel, thank you guys for coming on, sharing your little stories about your kids and all things Saving Abel these days. It was awesome. I'm going to get to work as soon as we're done here about booking that Hawaii show. And and we hope to see you all real, real soon somewhere on the road in our neck of the woods as well. Anything else, Nick?
We'll be Oregon bound soon.
We'll just bring you guys out ourselves, man. Like,
do it.
Next year, we'll be doing some shows next year. So
when I say goodbye, don't go anywhere. Just Okay. Everyone stay put.
I
have a question that I don't think we should, that everyone needs to know.
Well, thanks for having us.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for saying yes.
I love to talk about myself and my kids. So yeah, this puts both of them out.
Yeah, it's
so
kind of why we hit nail on head with this show, man. Lots of dads seem to like to do the same, and we love that. For everyone listening and watching, wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you so very much. And if you are watching on the YouTube stream, please do us a favor, like it up, subscribe, comment, do all that good stuff. Maybe let us know what you felt about Jared and Jason. Maybe suggestions for more guests up in the future. We'll take them in the note. And we appreciate you, man. We'll see all of you next week. Have a great rest of your day. Later. See ya.
See ya.